Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
You ready for the word today?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Amen.
You know, the Lord, before all this lockdown, you know, this shutdown happened, We started preaching a series on our words. And it's not like we don't know about this, but you have to be stirred up, you have to be reminded. And so, I kind of just laid it aside, thought I'm going to wait till we're back together and then we'll do it again. And I hadn't picked it up yet, but it was like here a while back the other day, the Lord just kind of nudged me. He said, grab that, pick that up again. So I'm going to do a series. This is part one. I don't know how many parts there will be, but I know there's going to be more than one part. And I'm going to do it tonight or this morning. I'll continue on probably this Wednesday night. I'll be preaching this Wednesday night, and I'll probably preach on it again this Wednesday night. And just keep that on Sunday and Wednesday, you know, as long as I need to go. But what I want to preach on is this. Do words really matter? Or did we just make this up? Is this just a faith teaching that we like to go to, you know, as one of our pet doctrines, or is it Bible? Well, I don't know about you, but one of my prayers when I get ready to preach is I pray for accuracy. You know, I don't really have any pet doctrines. I try not to have. I just want truth. You know, and if I find out that, you know, this teaching's wrong, I'd drop it in a heartbeat. What happened to know from the Bible, it's the Word of God. So this is what we're going to be talking about over the next several services. Do words really matter? Do words really matter? Does it really matter what I say? Some will say, no, it doesn't. Some will say, yes, it does. Well, it doesn't matter what some say. What matters is what the Word says. Amen? So, all right, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at verse 12. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God put His Spirit in us so we could know the things He's freely given to us. Now, we're not going to read this, but if you read up to this, it talks about who knows what's inside of a man except his spirit that's within him. Even so, nobody knows what's in the heart of God except the Spirit of God. All right, so I don't know what you're thinking unless I could get inside of you.
Amen.
Now, if I could get inside of you, you know what I'm saying? If my spirit could get inside of you, I'd know everything you're thinking. Well, God said no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And then he said he has given us the Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Yeah.
So he put the Spirit in us so we could know what God's thinking.
Hallelujah.
It hit me one time, Dustin. I thought, well, why didn't I think of that? Anytime, you know, we talk about renewing the mind. Anytime that I put the Word of God in my mind, I'm thinking a thought that God's already thought. Now that's cool that I can think a thought that God's thought. Because some of my thoughts, I don't think God's thought. How about you?
Amen.
All right, so it was cool. So I thought that's pretty cool. Well, God put His Spirit in us so we could know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now notice this, verse 13, it says, which things will also we speak. Now notice this, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So there are words, verse 13. Now notice this real closely. We're going to teach on this, and I think this will help us. There's words which man's wisdom teaches, and there's words which the Holy Spirit teaches. There's a difference. Now I have in my possession here a Jewish New Testament. I want to read it to you out of the Jewish New Testament. Is that okay? Listen to this. Jewish New Testament says this. We avoid the manner of speaking that human wisdom would dictate. We avoid that. Instead, use a manner of speaking taught by the Spirit. So that's basically what the King James is saying there. There's a manner of speaking that man's wisdom dictates. We don't use the words that which man's wisdom teaches, King James says. But we use the manner of speaking taught by the Spirit. So there's words that are taught by the Spirit. All right? Now, how do we know what's words taught by human wisdom and what's words taught by the Holy Spirit? Does anybody know how we would know that? By the Word of God, right? Isn't this inspired, the Word? Isn't the Word of God inspired, right? All right, so how would we know? We'd have to find out what God said. Amen. To know whether what we're saying is in line with what the Holy Spirit says, the words that He uses. Now, how many know the Holy Spirit doesn't use words that say, you know, I have cancer, I'm going to die. He doesn't use those words. What words does He use to address sickness? By His stripes we're healed. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Now we're going to teach on this morning, and we're going to show you there's a balance to this. You know that you got to. And we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But there's words that the Holy Spirit uses that's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. See, man's wisdom, you know, will tell you, you know, like, you know, this COVID-19 thing's been going around. Oh man, we're all going to die. I mean, there are people freaking out, right? I mean, people are just literally freaking out over this thing. And like Pastor was saying Friday night, it's real. I mean, it's killed people, right? Sure. So, we're not denying it's not real. What we're going to do is going to deny its place in our life. All right? You can't, listen, if you don't know what the Bible says, I'd be afraid. I'm telling you, man, I don't see, you know, after I've given my life to Jesus, I don't see how people out there, you know, keep from freaking out over some things going on. I mean, you know, look, I mean, just in the natural, it looks like our country's falling apart. All the world's falling apart, right? And, all these things are Bible predicted. You know, the Bible talked about in the last days that it talks about the world would go crazy, people would go crazy, you know. Nations would turn against Israel. It just talks about the different things, different signposts. So I look at that, I see that, I don't get real upset about it. I wish it wasn't happening, but I just happen to know there are some things that are happening that we're not going to pray away or stop. Now maybe your favorite, now that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray about things, but there are some things we're just not going to stop because they're dictated in the Word, prophetic Word. Right? We can't pray away the battle of Armageddon that's coming. We can't bind the spirit of war and stop it. Are you with me this morning? See, Christians get goofy with this stuff. You can't override what Jesus said. There's going to be pestilence, earthquakes, famines, things in diverse places. He said that. There's nobody going to overturn the head of the church. Now, what we've got to do as believers is make sure we're in a protected place. How do we get in a protected place? Go hide in a cave. You know, I remember the city where Pastor Jerry's from years ago. It's probably before he was even knew his right hand from his left hand spiritually. You know, he was still doing some weird stuff, you know, driving around in his Nova or whatever it was. Oh, his Camaro. Oh, he had a Camaro, everybody. You know, he had an afro when I met him, kind of like, you know, arm hanging out the door, you know, riding around. Monster Mash, cranked up Max, you know. Some of you are too young to remember that song, but anyway. You understand. And I remember in that city, when we actually first started preaching in that city, there was a group that was hiding in a cave waiting for the return of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, I figure Jesus is going to return whether I'm in a cave or I'm laying on a cushion. I'll take the cushion. See, there are saying. What I'm saying to you is there's just things you're not going to change. You're just not going to change it, you know. It's going to happen. You just got to be prepared and be ready. And Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads for your redemption draws nigh. So, now don't let me deflate you. That doesn't mean we don't pray against some things that are going on in our country. See, you and I don't always have the discernment to know, you know, everything we can change and what we can't change. We don't always know that. So our job is to try to change it. Unless the Lord says, stop praying about that. Right? because you're not going to change that, right? Yeah. So all the unrest and things, and there are things, like what we're seeing right now with the riots and all the unrest. This isn't the first time we've seen it.
No.
You know, if you're a little older, you remember the 60s, and we had plenty of them then. It wasn't the first time. But it is just, we're just in the end times. That's all there is to it. These things are not going to get any better in the world. I remember back in the 80s and 90s, there was a group in the church. They were called Kingdom Now people. They loved the Lord. They were born again. Some of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. They just needed to educate themselves in the Bible. And they were like, we're going to take over the whole world, the church is, clean it up and present it to Jesus. We're failing miserably. You know what Jesus said we are? He said we're the salt. We're the light. What does salt do? Salt preserves, but it doesn't stop. It checks, but it doesn't stop. It slows, but it doesn't stop. See, if you're old enough, you remember, I'm not as old as Kenny, so I don't remember all this stuff, but he told me about it. But I do remember my grandparents and all, and some of the old places, they had smokehouses. And they that was years ago. They used those things, And they would salt meat, and it would slow down the corruption. See, it didn't stop it, but it slowed it down. And that's what Jesus said. We as the church are supposed to be light. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to slow down the corruption. That doesn't mean we stop it, but we slow it down. I got news for you. If the church left the United States today, this place would be trashed by the end of the week. These heathen would trash it. They're trying their best now. Whether you know or not, we got born again, spirit-filled, godly people in leadership. Are you with me now? We may have more now than we've ever had. And just keep praying. Let's get more. Amen. That doesn't mean our nation has to sink till Jesus comes. It doesn't mean it's going to go in the trash, but I'm just saying we're the influence. Amen. And we got to do something about it, amen? With our prayers, our faith, and listen to us, and us living right.
Amen.
How we expect the world to know what's right and wrong when preachers don't even know what's right and wrong?
Right.
I mean, how are they supposed to know what's sexually perverted and what's not when the church doesn't even know?
Right.
Or the so-called church. But the Bible's very plain about it, amen?
Right.
So back to what we're talking about, there's words that the Spirit of God, that are from His wisdom, and there's words that are from the world's wisdom. You need to learn to speak what the Spirit of God would say. The Spirit of God will never say you're not going to make it. Why? Well, that's not His vocabulary. The vocabulary of the Scriptures is we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. That more than conquerors means we have surpassing victory. I mean, that's over the top stuff. Amen? I heard Brother Schombach, R.W. Schombach, who's in heaven years ago. He said, you know what more than a conqueror is? He said, man, it's a heavyweight guy, boxer that trains for months and months and months and months, works and runs and, does all the road work of running in the gym and punching and sparring and all that, and he gets in the ring, and he goes through a really hard fight, and he gets a little beat up, but he ends up winning, and he gets this check, and then he's a conqueror. He's a conqueror. He takes the check, hands it to his wife. She's more than a conqueror. See, he did all the work, but she got the money. See, Jesus did all the work, but we got the blessing. Hallelujah. And so this is not just me pumping you up. This is what the Bible says. It's what the Word says. And so we have to learn that we don't speak the words that are dictated by the world, but the words that are dictated by the Holy Spirit. Words that are of the Spirit. See, Paul said, which we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. The ones that He's taught us. That's the words we're to say. Now, you may say, well, I tried that. I got in trouble and I tried that. That is your problem. You wait till you get in trouble to try it. You're trying to build your house in a storm. I live this way. I say every day I have divine wisdom. I have divine anointing. I have divine favor. I have divine guidance. I have divine power. I have divine protection. I have divine healing and health. I have divine prosperity. I say those things every day over my life. Why? Because it's Scripture. It's what the Bible says I have in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I say it every day. I don't wait till I get a problem to say it. I say it so I don't have as many problems. And then when I do have a problem, I'm already in position. I'm already ready. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I mean, you know, I get into boxing. You know, I've been a boxing aficionado for years, you know, and I've got all kinds of DVDs and stuff. I watch it. Phyllis said it's not from God. It's not going to be in heaven, but I don't pay attention to it. I watch it anyway. I just go to my man cave and just shut the door and we're watching this, all right? And so I watch it, you know, and here's what I know. Some of these guys that box, they don't stay in shape. They don't stay in shape. If you saw them in public, you know, 3 months from the, well, you saw them in the ring, man, they're chiseled, they look trim, they're ready to go. You see them 3 months, you know, and there's a little bit of gut hanging over. They've been eating pizza and pork chops and gravy. They get in training camp and, oh, man, you got to take 40 pounds off. Some of them take 50 off. And they get razor sharp. They get ready. They get up there and you see them, you know, right before the fight and they look like, man, they need a Big Mac. But they're, you know, because they're really trimmed and cut. Well, they're in fighting shape. See, that's the way you got to be spiritually. You can't get fat and flabby and then you have, then you get into the ring with an opponent and all of a sudden you're going to do a few push-ups? Come on, are you with me? See, that's what I see a lot of times is people, well, I heard what pastor said. I heard what that preacher said. I tried that. Well, that's the problem. See, you're not in shape. You're trying to do something you're not in shape with. You got to get in shape. You got to stay in shape. Yeah, I don't know whether you know this or not, but warfare is continuous. And you got to stay in continuous shape if you're going to have continual victory. And so you can't just like, I got a problem. I'm going to do some push-ups and get ready. That's a wrong time. It's like a guy, like I heard one minister say, it's like somebody tries to break in your house and you say, wait a minute, I'm going to get my barbells and work out. I'm going to take care of you. You're too late. See, believers do that. They're like, well, I got a problem. Now I'm going to do what Pastor taught. Where's that sermon at? Now God's merciful, but it's hard to build your house in a storm. Are you with me now? So we need to speak words that man's wisdom teaches. Amen. Come on, not what we think or what the world says. You know, listen, we don't negate what, you know, people say that may be facts, but that's not the words that we build our lives on. I've gotten negative reports before, but I don't build my life on that. I build my life on what God has said in His Word. Hallelujah. What did He say? I'm going to find out what He said about it. Amen? So, now notice this. Let's read on. Let's go back to verse 13. He says, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Notice this. See, the natural man, the natural-minded man, thinks the things I'm saying this morning are foolishness. Well, you can think that. I mean, I don't think you think that, but people can think that. But I happen to know they're not. How do you know that? Well, first of all, they're in the Word, right? But secondly, I've lived this way for 30-some years, and I've lived a really good life, a healthy life, a blessed life. I wasn't before when I got a hold of this truth. I did. I'm so glad. Now, I got saved, and when I got saved, I'm so glad about 2 weeks after I got saved, I think something around there, somebody gave me some of Brother Hagin's cassettes. I mean, when I heard it, it rang. I mean, that rang in my spirit. This is truth, man. This is truth. So I started digging for more, you know. And, man, I'm glad I learned that because I've lived in victory ever since. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Have you ever had attacks? Everybody's had attacks, right? But here's the good thing about the attacks. God causes us to triumph through all of them. But you got to speak the words with the Spirit's says, the Spirit's wisdom. Amen? Come on, are you with me now? But the natural man, see, the natural man hears me say this, and they say, well, you know, that just sounds like Christian Science, denying things. Now, I'm going to show you in a minute, we don't deny anything. We deal with things. Christian Science is neither Christian nor science, all right? Just because you say, I think I'm not sick, doesn't mean you're not sick. You can say, I think I'm not sick, but when you throw up, I realize you're sick. Something wrong with you. So a lot of people try to equate what we teach with that. You're just not paying attention. You need to get more spiritual and listen. All right? See, don't be naturally minded. Don't just think like the world. The world, you know, if somebody said this, we put it in the bulletin. They said, if you listen to the news media more than you read your Bible, your discouragement's self-inflicted. I thought that's powerful. Yeah. You're causing your own discouragement. Yeah. Because you are listening to what the world says more than you're listening to what God says. And I got news for you. They don't have any good news at all. Are you with me? See, when Pastor was talking about it, I mean, I was on this the other day. I was telling Phyllis about it. When he said, you don't get news any longer. You just get opinion. You don't get news. I mean, you know, I remember the days of Roger Mudd, Walter Cronkite. You know, you got a little more news in those days. And you do now. I mean, it's just like I've told Pastor, I said, they are so lazy. Not all of them, but some of them are so lazy. I said, look, you know, I recorded because, you know, his town got the flood thing, you know, with the dams broke and all that. And I thought, well, I want to record that. You know, I'd called him and talked to him. And I thought, I'm going to record what the news is saying about it. So, yeah, they had a news report on it, you know. And this guy's giving this report, you know, and he's standing on the sidewalk, you know, and it's sunny out, and he's standing underneath a shade tree. He's getting a report. I thought, okay, he's in Midland. That must be downtown Midland, Michigan. That's where the flood happened, you know. I thought, he must be downtown Midland, Michigan. And then a little caption comes on, Chicago, Illinois. I thought, I don't need a guy from Chicago to tell me what's going on in Midland. A guy in Evansville worked just as good. I'm in Evansville. I know about much about as he does. He's not there. Now, that's just lazy. Yeah. I said, that's just lazy. Yeah. And are those the people you're going to let you tell you what's going on? What to expect? What to believe? I'm not. I'm going to let my Bible tell me what to expect. I'm going to let my God tell me what to expect. I'm going to let Him tell me what to believe, not what they're saying. Oh, you know, it's just really bad out there, and you know, and it's Donald Trump's fault. Well, I've just learned this. I mean, if we have a water break in Evansville, Donald Trump caused it. That's the only thing they have. Now, I don't worry if you lie. I'm not defending Donald Trump. I'm just telling you the truth. That's all you ever hear. I mean, you know, I won't say that, but anyway. I don't need to hear that. Matter of fact, I don't hear that. I don't listen to it anymore. Amen. But now, listen, there's words that God's wisdom, you know, teaches us to say, but there's words that the world teaches. Now, verse 15, he says, but he that's spiritual, he judges all things, or literally, he discerns all things. Yet he's discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and he may instruct him. But we have, listen, this is us, we have the mind of Christ. Well, how do we have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ by the things that the Spirit says, by the Word. Amen? Now, go to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you something here. Genesis chapter 1. Come on, are you with me? I'm teaching this morning. I hope you're getting something out of this. Genesis chapter 1. And some of this isn't new, but sometimes we need to stir it up on it again. Genesis chapter 1. We're actually going to go to Mark 11. Well, one hallelujah, one grunt. We're going to go to Mark 11. We've been there several times. All right, go to Genesis 1. Look, I want to show you something about the word. Anybody know what the word Genesis means? Beginnings, right. So, in Bible study, there's something called the law of Genesis. Now, what the law of Genesis is the law of beginnings. In other words, you can find out how things work, a lot of things work, by reading the book of Genesis, you know. Just like, for instance, the first time the word fear is mentioned is when Adam and Eve allowed Satan into their lives. Fear wasn't mentioned before that. So that lets us know fear didn't come from God, all right? Now, in the New Testament bears that up. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. But even before Paul told that to Timothy, we knew that by the law of Genesis, because we saw where it began, how it started, see. So when you find out how something starts, then you know exactly where it came from. All right? So we learn that through Genesis. And, you know, it's confirmed through the New Testament. So in Genesis, it shows us how God operates, all right, how He does things. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to just look at a few verses. We're not going to read the entire verse, but I just want you to see something. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." And guess what? There was light. Verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters." And guess what? It was there. Verse 9, "And God said, let the waters be under the heaven be gathered together." Verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass." Verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." Verse 20, "And God said, let waters bring forth abundantly." Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. Verse 24, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature." Verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." How many think that's probably trying to tell us something? That God says, and it's so. Right? You know, it could have said that God thought. Right? God could have thought, let there be light. But that's not what it tells us. It says he said it. Now, how many know you think something before you say it, or you should think before you speak? Now, how many understand? This is the way God operates. See, this is the way he operates. He says, and it's so, all right? So God says, and it's so. See, when I was a kid, one of my jobs of the evening, you know, in our day, parents had, you know, you go back and, you know, like my parents, like my mom, on my mom's side, I think she had 12 or 13 siblings, you know. And then, you know, how many dad had, but he had a number, you know. And as things progressed, parents got dumber. And they quit having as many kids. Because, see, our parents used us to work. And you go back in those old days, they had those farms, see? And so you need a lot of kids to do things. And that's just maybe one reason. But anyway, one of my jobs is I was a remote control. How many old enough to remember that, being a remote control? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, all right, Dad, he's worked all day long. He comes home, he eats dinner, he sits in the recliner, and he watches TV, all right? And so, Dad's watching Channel 7. You know, where we lived at, you only had like four channels. You know, you had 7, you had 10, I don't know, maybe 14, I can't remember. 25 maybe. We had 10. 10 was out at Terre Haute. It was CBS. And so maybe Dad's watching Channel 7 and it's 8 o'clock and it's time for Gunsmoke. He doesn't get out of the chair. He says, "Hey, turn the station." See? He spoke and it was so. See? Right? See, that's the way God is, see. See, now think about this now. You know, you and I, it could have easily said that God thought, but that's not the way God operates. You know what I'm saying? See, things in the spirit work different than things in the natural, you know. I mean, if you're sitting there and you're watching TV and you get hungry and you want a sandwich, you don't just say, "I think I shall now make me a sandwich." You just get up and make it, right? Right? But things in the spirit world, they work different than that. God, this reveals to us in Genesis. And let me just say this to you, and we'll look at some other scripture here in just a minute. There's a lot of scriptures, even in the New Testament, reveal this is how God operates. He speaks, and it's so. But I'm going to show you that that's not just how God operates, that's how he expects his children to operate. With their inheritance, with their redemption. Are you with me now? So we're going to talk about this just a little bit. So I want you, I tell you what, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Come on, are you getting anything this morning? Mark chapter 11. I want to show you this. I'm just doing a little Bible teaching here, and I think it'll help you. Mark chapter 11. Let's go there. Mark the 11th chapter. Because if you don't get this, then there's a lot of things that you will miss in your redemption, what belongs to you. Because there's a lot of things that just won't come your way if you don't get a hold of this. Because I've taught you this, and I hope you remember now, what you have in life it's not going to be up to God. I mean, in the sense that he's already determined your inheritance. Are you with me now? David said, I think it was Psalm 16, he said, the Lord is my portion and my cup. Now think about that. Portion is what's allotted to you. Cup's what you have. So you could have a portion, but then your cup might not be filled. So there's a huge difference between what your portion is and what your cup is. Portion's what's allotted to you. Cup's what's been given to you, what you've received. Let me say it that way. Portion's what's been given to you. Cup's what you've received. Amen? The Lord is your portion, but how much you receive? Remember what David said? He said, my cup overflows. I'm just keep receiving and receiving and receiving. Amen. Now, all right, Mark chapter 11, go there. Mark chapter 11, and let's go to verse number, I'll tell you what, let's go to verse 12. Mark 11, 12. It says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply, or perhaps he might find anything thereon. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And notice this, Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. I want you to know, what did Jesus do? He did the same thing God did in Genesis chapter 1. He said, no, he spoke to the fig tree, right? Isn't this what God did? Sure, it's exactly what he did. And so, verse 20, it says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering, said unto him, have faith in God. Now, my cross-reference says something that's really good. It says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. In other words, what is Jesus saying? This is the way the faith of God works. Come on. Now, notice this. And verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, what are the things that you say? They're your words, right? So you could say those words that he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. So what are we talking about here? Well, we're just talking about this. Jesus is simply telling us that what he did to that fig tree was the faith of God. That's how the faith of God works. And he just told us, he said, you can do the same thing. Thanks for being so excited. I really feel warm and fuzzy this morning. Come on, am I boring you or what? I mean, have you heard this so many times? Like, we need a new pastor. I'll call Dr. Barkley and see who he's got. Can you fly one in here next Sunday? I don't know, you know. I don't know what people think, but this is what this says. This is exactly what Jesus said. He's just simply telling us, do the same thing that God did in Genesis chapter 1. This is the faith of God. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. It withered away. They marveled. How did this happen? And he said, have faith in God. This is the faith. Or my cross reference, have the faith of God. This is exactly what, this is how this works, guys. And if you'll do the same thing, you'll get the same results. Amen. If you don't, you won't. See, I've heard people say over the years, you know, well, I'm telling you what. They used to, years ago, they used to call it, because back in the 80s and all, the two top faith teachers were Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland. And they would say, oh, you're one of them Copenhagens. I swear they'd insult you. You know. And I've heard them on the radio. No foul, those faith preachers and that, you know, saying you can have what you say. Well, let me tell you something. You better watch your mouth, because the faith preacher that said it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So I think I'd shut my mouth if I was you until I got a brain. I'd grow a brain, and then before you talk. Because it wasn't Brother Hagin that wrote Mark 11:23. It was Jesus that spoke Mark 11:23. So I'd just be real watchful about shooting my mouth off before I check my brain. And I'd check my brain in the Word, amen, and find out what the Word has to say. Because that's what Jesus said, not Brother Hagin, all right? That's what he said. You'll have whatsoever. Now listen to me, and I'd hear these arguments. Are you going to tell me you can have everything you say? Well, no, I'm not. I'm going to tell you can have everything you believe, what you say. He said, if you believe. See, that's the safeguard on that verse. You can't have everything you say. You can have everything that you say that you believe. Anybody know how faith comes? And hearing by what? So, how could you say something that's in the Word, how could you say something that's not in the Word and have faith for it? You couldn't. You could have presumption. You could have foolishness. But you couldn't have faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, people that run around say, I can say anything I want, and it's going to come to pass. No, that's not what that verse said. That verse said, if you believe it. And there's only one way to believe it. And that's by the Bible, saying it first. Come on. See, there's got to be some balance to this, or people get, because people got in a ditch in those days. Let's close out. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Let me show you this. Romans chapter 4. I hope you get something out of this. Romans chapter 4. Go there. Romans the 4th chapter. And I'm just going to read one verse here, and we've taught on this before, but let's touch on it again. And then I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you want to go ahead and find that. And this will be it for today. 2 Corinthians 4, Romans 4. Find both of those, and we'll go from there. 2 Corinthians 4 and Romans chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 17, the Bible says, as is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead, and he calls those things which be not as though they were. And that's how God does this. Now, isn't that what he did in Genesis? I said, isn't that what he did in Genesis? The things that he called for, they weren't, but he called them as they were, and they became. Remember, he said, let there be light. There wasn't any light. And then there was light. All right? So it's real important that you understand the way this is said. He calls those things which be not as though they were. He doesn't call those things that are as though they are not. That is where people got into the ditch years ago. You know, they didn't think they could say, I don't feel well. Get in the prayer line. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Well, get out. See what I'm talking about? That was the bondage that people got in years ago. I can't say any what they called say anything negative. Now I'm going to show you something here. That's not what the Bible teaches. It didn't say he calls those things that are as though they are not. You might be sick. Saying you're not sick is not going to get you healed. You're denying what is. It's not the truth of the word. But it is a reality of what's happening in your life right now. Are you with me now? I hope you get this because this is real important because I see people miss it here. They'll think, I can't say anything that I have any problem because that'd be negative. No, that's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible says call for what you want. In other words, don't just stand around and talk about how bad it is. Start saying what God said about it. You with me now? You know, it may be true the doctor gave you a bad report. You know, you don't rebuke the doctor. I've seen Christians, heard a Christian do it. I don't accept that. Why did you go? Why'd you go saying? If you're not going to accept anything he said, why'd you bother to go? I'm not getting on to you today. Maybe it sounds like it, but I don't know. It's just on me. But you understand, see, That's taking that and perverting what the Bible's actually teaching. What the Bible teaches us, and I'm going to show you this here in just a minute, what the Bible teaches us is call for what you want. Say what God said about it. It doesn't mean you can't acknowledge you got an issue, you got a problem. Mm-hmm. See? You know, people get weird, man. They get weird with this thing. Some people will say, I'm not a multitasker. Oh, I wouldn't confess that. That's negative. No, I'm not. There ain't any promise in the Bible that promises Mark shall be a multitasker. You're getting out lying with the word here. You understand what I'm saying? It's like Brother Hagin said one time. He said, you know, this minister he knew, he had a ministry, and he'd bought a new grounds and all, ministry grounds, and he said on the grounds that he bought for his ministry, there was a swimming pool. And he said that, you know, this one couple working in the ministry there, that they had a couple little kids running around there that they were letting run loose, you know. And one of the caretakers of the ground that worked for the ministry spoke to them and said, hey, you better watch your kids. I mean, there's a swimming pool here. It doesn't have any fence around. You better watch them. Oh, that's not our confession. Our confession is the angels watch over them. That's our confession. And they fell in the pool and drowned. It was like Brother Hagin said, it's not the angel's job to watch your kids. It's your job. Well, that hit a dead spot. But that's part of this goofiness out of this teaching that people get goofy with and think, well, God will take care. No, he gave you those kids for you to raise. Now, you can confess things over them, but you better do your part. Are you with me now? That wasn't a negative confession. That was just a warning. The kids praying around a pool that don't know how to swim, you got some problems there. We need to deal with that. That's just common sense. Come on. So that's not this confession thing we're talking about, where we just ignore, you know, like there's no issues. No, there's issues. But you better speak what the Word says if you want a better outcome than speak your issues. Look what Paul said. Let's go here and let's close. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go there. How many believe Paul was probably spiritual? How many believe Paul was probably a man of faith? How many believe we could probably follow his example a little bit, maybe? You know, he said, follow me as I follow the Lord. How many remember that? So I believe that we could probably learn from him. I want you to know what I'm trying to bring out. I'm trying to bring a balance to this because I know when you preach on these things, I've seen it over the years, people get in bondage. And the doctor said that, but I deny it. I don't have that. Well, why did you go? You do have it. You can confess you don't got a zit on your nose, but if you got a zit on your nose, you got a zit on your nose. Right. Amen. Amen. I'm getting some looks this morning, but I can stare back at you. Amen. I got mean faces. I'll show them to you in a little bit. Hey, see, that's just foolishness. Well, I want a short nose. Well, you got a long one, so it's just the way it is. That's the way God made you. See, you follow what I'm saying. See, look at this. Look at this. Let's close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Listen to what Paul said. He said, we are troubled on every side. Oh, that's negative, isn't it? Isn't that negative confession? How many know troubled on one side's bad? Troubled on the right side's bad, but on the right side, left side, front and back, that's bad. Right? Yeah. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. He didn't stop there, did he? Right. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. You see what he was doing? What is he doing? Same thing. That Romans talked about, call those things which be not as though they were. In the natural, they were troubled on every side, but Paul said that's not the end of the story. Because God's given us provision. We may be going through some things right now, but we're going to say what the Word says about us. We're not going to deny what we're going through. You know, we're not going to say it's not happening, but we're not going to let that be the final outcome. That's not what we're calling for. Brother Capps used to say years ago, he said, if you want the dog, don't call the cat. See, what you want, call for that. This is a challenge for a lot of people right here just to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because the devil will fight you. How many know that? He doesn't want you walking in victory. He doesn't want you walking in these things. So, I don't know how many times we'll teach on this, but if it doesn't go any better than today, that's probably the last time. But I'll tell you one thing, we need to know our words matter. We need to know that. We need to know that what we say is going to dictate what we end up having in life. And I'm not just talking about when you get in trouble. That's an issue, see. A lot of people wait till they get in trouble, and then they want to start saying what the Bible says. Well, where's those scriptures? Where's those healing scriptures? I want to confess them. Well, don't just wait. Start saying them before you get in trouble. Start making them part of your life. I do it every day. Every day. And I tell you what, I just believe what you do is you're just building yourself spiritually. You're building yourself spiritually, and you're ready to tackle anything. Because you're built up. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait till it's time, till somebody steps in the ring and decide I need to lose 40 pounds here and get in shape. Amen. Not many people can pull that off. Amen. I've seen them like in racing, you know, people that, I'll be okay. And then they land on the side of the road. Because they didn't train. I thought, it can't be that hard. Well, you know, you can think that, but you got to get in shape. You got to be in shape. Are you with me now? So, man, I tell you what, I ran from my car all the way into Walmart. I think I could run a marathon now. I don't think so. You're on your way. You know, maybe your first run, your key fob still works on your car. That's as far as you got. But that's a start, right? That's somewhere, you know. It's like one person said, you know, I heard one time, and this person was talking about, well, I'm a slow runner. He said, yeah, but you passed everybody sitting on the couch. Yeah. So you got to start, right? And so why not every day make this confession? Mine is, I have divine wisdom, divine anointing, divine favor, divine guidance, divine power, divine protection, divine healing health, and divine prosperity. I confess that over me. I confess it over you. I confess it over different people every day, different groups of people every day. But I confess it over myself because that's what I'm aiming for. That's what I'm shooting for. And it seems to work because God honors His word. It's like Jesus said, say, amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.